100%.
100%. We are professional legends.
Yeah, like always. Everything we do is really, really great. Oh, hey!
Oh, we're live. Who knew?
Hey!
Wow. Sorry, 100% professional legendary dorks.
Yes, that is the most accurate thing that can be said of us today. In this live episode of Fictional Hangover, we talk about the short story Juice Like Wounds by Seanan MacGuire. And now my music's not even playing. It's a good day.
Oh my god, the technical hitches are starting.
Well, you know what? Everyone knows what our sound effects sound like at this point.
We could just dance. Let's just dance.
We could. I think this is a...
This is a cursed episode.
This is a curse. It's a cursed episode. You're right. You're right. We are 100% cursed. But it's fine.
It's fine. It's fine because we are... professional,
yes,
legendary, yes, dogs.
Yes, we are. Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Fictional Hangover, a totally sophisticated and professional podcast about young adult and new adult and sometimes other books, series, authors, voice actors, and illustrators that is full of spoilers. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Claire.
And today we're going to discuss the show. I think we need to turn it off and walk away. Just walk away.
This was a great live. Thanks, everybody.
And
today we're going to discuss the short story, wonderfully named Juice Like Wounds by Seanan MacGuire. And it's for our book club. Yay!
Standard disclaimer. If you haven't read this story, please remember that Fictional Hangover is all about spoilers. If you haven't read and don't want to be spoiled, too bad, because we're live, although we're doing terribly so far today. So maybe
hey, we're professional.
Back off, go read the story, take a few minutes and then come back. And I don't know. If you haven't done this but want to pretend that you have, or if you don't care about spoilers, or if you just love the show so much that you don't care about any of that, then listen up. Nope.
Yeah.
This is a great episode. This is a really great and good episode. It's just like all the rest of them, except for everything is failing. And also, I don't have any background information for this short story.
Not having any background information for this one, because I mean, I like the background information that it's a free short story on rectomag.com.
Yes, that's true. And there's a lot of good things there.
Oh,
lots of stories by Seanan MacGuire and other people too. So yeah, you should go check that out. Also, I'll just go ahead and say, if you love us, give us money and join us on Patreon at patreon.com/fictionalhangover, or buy a treasure from fictionalhangover.redbubble.com. Oh, is that background? Was that bad?
I mean, it's ongoing. it's ongoing. I like it. I do like it though, and I like the fact that you've got the ticker tape.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I've got another one here from the last time we went live. Do you want to see this one?
Yeah.
Visit your
hell yeah. That is an evergreen ticker tape.
Yes.
To which I appreciate. Annie's in the chat, by the way. Hi, Annie.
Hi, Annie. Thanks for joining us today. We need all the help and love we can operation. Get.
We are very professional. We are 100% professionals today.
We really, really are. I'm going to switch it back to this one for a little while. Did you have any initial thoughts about this story? You know, we've been covering this series one a month, every month so far.
I think initial thoughts are... it was nice to go back to the market and have one of their adventures, because we did say in the last episode that Lundy's story is so sad.
Yes.
And this one is so sad. This one's so sad as well. Yeah. but it would be nice to have seen one of their adventures. However, did it have to be something so heart-wrenching and soul-destroying?
Yes, this is the one that I was waiting for. I feel like I complained about this the most in our last episode about this series, because we get this really fantastic introduction to a character, and then she's dead.
Death.
And you're like, oh, well, how did that happen?
Death.
Yes, yes. So we did get to see a little bit of that, though I wish there had been more.
Yeah,
more
death.
Is that wrong?
More death, really? Okay. More fair value. Of the what I wish there was, like, almost an anthology of Lundy's adventures, or Moon's adventures, or Mockery's adventures, you know, from the market.
Yeah.
Because I feel like lots of things happened, big and small, this one being a big one. And it would have been nice to have seen those. But I don't think we will anymore. Again, I am completely ignorant about this series. I do not look ahead. I don't know how far you've read into the series. Are we coming up to the point where it's going to be new material yet?
No, not yet. I've still got a few more.
Okay. So I'm completely ignorant, as, you know, as in life, as with this book series. I'm completely ignorant of what's going on. I do not read ahead because I don't see the point. It's the same as when we pick books for the schedule. If there's something that you particularly want to read, I'll just kind of go with it. I won't look into it. There's no point because you want to read it, so I'll read it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Ignorance is bliss.
Sometimes, yes.
Sometimes. But if it's, you know, if it concerns an election, go and be educated, people.
Oh, please do. Let's not talk about that.
No.
We're already off the rails so far. We can't.
What about your initial thoughts then?
Oh, my initial thoughts are just shouting about Mockery and how we finally got a little bit of her story. That's all there is. That's all there is.
A lot shorter.
Yeah. Yeah. Should we begin?
Yes.
All right. This is the story of three girls who came and went into the market. Moon, the youngest, was almost always there and was left by her mother in the care of the market. One, the oldest, was Moon's first friend, Mockery, who came to the market through a series of doorways, leaving everything behind, including her true name. One, Lundy, traveled back and forth to the market almost as often as she pleased, until she couldn't do it anymore. Both Mockery and Lundy were friends with Moon, and on one trip, they all three became friends, if only for a short while. Lundy provided pies for their lunch, Mockery traded crawfish for lemonade, and Moon traded stones for candy, and their friendship began.
The three decided that they would become the heroes of the market and would keep it safe from monsters and be paid in fair value for 100 years. But they had to find a monster to slay in order to make that true. Lundy spent a lot of her time in the market with the archivist, reading her books and asking her questions. So one time, she asked her about people who don't believe in the fair value of the market and decide to leave. The archivist told her that there are some that leave the market and the world altogether, and some don't have anywhere else to go, so they live on the outskirts outside the market, where they owe no fair value to anyone. Some are fine on their own and find peace, but some, the worst ones, become monsters, and their good children shouldn't mess with them because there always is a cost.
Lundy told her friends about the monsters, and they decided that if they defeated one of these monsters, it would be like setting things right in the world. It would not incur them any more debt, but instead it will pay off an old one, and that's a good thing. But where do they find a monster? Mockery suggested looking in the archivist's books to find a place in the market that's not mentioned anymore. But one that stopped being mentioned recently, because that place would have the newest and most easily defeatable monster. And Moon and Lundy agreed. I don't know if I trust this. This doesn't seem like sound logic.
I mean, to be fair, they are children. Like,
that's true. That's true.
Isn't this one of Lundy's first times in the market?
Yes, it is.
So she's like 9 or something?
Yeah, and Moon is like 7.
Yeah, so no. Anyway, Lundy started reading books the next day and found one that mentioned a pomegranate grove, but Lundy had never seen pomegranates for sale in the market, so she asked the archivist about it. The archivist rarely made mistakes, but she did this time, and told Lundy that the grove was to the west. She did not tell her, though, that inside the pomegranate grove was a young girl called Zora, who came to London from Lundy's own world and whose heart was filled with so much venom that when she stopped paying fair value in the market and left, she did not become a bird like all the others, but instead became a wasp. The archivist didn't tell Lundy anything about the monster, but she did ask her to find and enjoy another book, so she also asked her not to go alone to the pomegranate grove.
It sounds like the archivist has made a mistake.
I have questions.
Lundy found her friends eating and picking blackberries and told them that they would need to travel west to find the grove. So they stopped and prepared to set off. Lundy had a knife she used for scaling fish, and Mockery had a spear, and Moon had a sling. They took their gathered berries to trade for a nice blanket and some vegetables and set off. They should have waited, but they were on a quest, so they couldn't possibly wait any longer.
Hey, you've got when you've got a quest, you know, it's onward to adventure, you know? They travelled west through the woods and finally came upon the grove. Moon, being the youngest and most foolish of the three, rushed to gather the pomegranates that had fallen to the ground. Because after all, in the market, fallen fruit belongs to no one, so why shouldn't she take some? As she reached for the fruit, a large wasp the size of Lundy flew in, and Mockery dove to protect her friend. Lundy stood up to the monster and told her they needed the fruit and that she wasn't giving fair value, and the wasp countered that children shouldn't be working to earn anything. But then she struck in the wing from the pomegranate thrown by Moon and her sling.
The wasp queen, furious, turned toward Moon and flew to attack, but again Mockery dove in to protect her friend, though this time she held her spear aloft. As Mockery's spear pierced the belly of the wasp queen's stinger pierced Mockery's belly. Moon sat terrified while Lundy jumped in with her knife and cut the wasp queen's head from her shoulders. Unfortunately, as she died, the wasp released her venom into Mockery, who also died. Wah, wah.
Wah, wah.
Rather than sit and mourn their friend, Moon gathered pomegranates and the wasp's head to pay for Mockery's funeral, while Lundy carried her body. Lundy and Moon made their way back to the archivist, who was not very surprised that all three girls did not return from the pomegranate grove. They buried Mockery by the river, and then, the next day, Lundy went through her door and back to her own world, leaving Moon all alone.
Oh! Ah. End of story! Smash cut to adverts.
Yikes.
Very much yikes.
Yes.
Do we need to do some kind of interlude? Should do some kind of dance. I'll do a dance.
Yeah, I think you should do a dance. I think that's great. Everyone should watch you do a dance for a few seconds. Here, I'll throw one in too. Yeah.
This is a good opportunity for us to tell you we have a Discord.
Yes, we have a Discord where we talk about this book. I mean this series all year long and other things too. So you should join us there.
Links are on our socials. If you go to the Instagram stories, that one is devoted purely to the Discord link.
Yes, yes.
There we go. There's a professional advert for you.
That is fantastic. I don't know how I feel about this short story and this live, because the last couple times we've done a live episode, we've had authors join us, and it's been very silly and full of laughter. And this story is just straight up murder.
It's devastating.
It is. It really is. And I know that I was so upset at the end of, what's it called, In an Absent Dream. It's like, oh, I wish I had more story about Mockery. No, I was wrong.
This is not the story I asked for. No. I wanted happy stories where they have pomegranates to eat and are nice and delicious. Not, you know, venom being pumped into my abdomen.
That, can I just say, I actually cringed at that imagery of the Wasp Queen squirting her juices. Or excuse me, how did I say it in the summary? Releasing her venom into Mockery. It just makes me cringe. The Wasp Queen screamed again, body pulsing as she drove more venom through herself and into the girl who held her impaled. Pulsing is written in italics, and it's just...
I actually made it worse, like when I was reading it and it was like pulsing and I'm like, okay, ew, in italics. You could kind of like feel the
yeah, it was really gross.
100% gross. Did not like.
Yeah, did not like that.
No. To be fair, I mean, though, we're going back to the market. Do you honestly think it was going to be a happy story?
No. But it could have been.
It would have been nice to have it been a happy story, but I think we've got the story that we needed. We needed to know what happened to Mockery. It was devastating.
Yeah, right. and then you continue. You know, if you jump back into In an Absent Dream, you know, Lundy goes home after this and then she gets like sent off to a boarding school or something, and like it doesn't get better at all.
Things suck for Lundy.
Yeah. Oh, and also, spoiler alert from book one, she's dead. She's already dead. She died a long time ago. It's horrible.
I'm laughing at your tone, not at what happens. Okay. Yes. It's devastating. Lundy's story is devastating. It's sad.
Yes, it really is.
It's probably because it's an unfortunate story, but also it's horribly realistic as well. Not everybody's story ends in a happy ending.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a devastating thing as well.
Yeah, and I do love that. I do love it. I really do. I like something that's not a happy ending. But Same. This one is pulsing with venom.
So visceral.
It was.
Visceral. Don't like it. Pulsing is such a good word as well.
Not when it's in italics.
No. No, don't like that. Can I ask the archivist?
Yes.
I didn't trust her in an absent dream. And I trust her less in this one.
Yeah.
Because if she's so smart and if she does so very little wrong, do you think she led Lundy, Moon and Mockery down the path to the pomegranate grove on purpose, knowing that something devastating could happen?
Probably, but it was probably a nice way for her to get rid of a monster. Just go send the children after them. It's fine.
Let's go send the children after the Wasp Queen, completely unprepared. They've got a sling, a tiny little knife,
and a spear.
And a bad attitude.
But the spear was great. And the knife was sharp enough to cut off a wasp's head, so it's pretty good.
I lost a lot of respect for the archivist in this one.
That's fine.
I feel like she sent the three of them off. You know, if you're being asked by a child, by a freaking child, preteen child, these questions about this pomegranate grove, and you know there's a vicious monster there, you're not going to set that, and you're purposely missing the integral aspect of, oh yeah, there's a freaking angry wasp queen down there with a bad attitude, a tattoo that says mum, and when she brandishes a machete, she will kill you at first sight. Don't go there.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, is she purposely not telling them, or has it got something to do with fair value? However, she allows Lundy to ask questions without cost.
Yeah, I think it's very clear that the archivist has favorites here. And, you know, the wasp queen was living there in the market, and then she started to get wise to things and doesn't think that children should have to pay fair value for anything because they're children. And then she leaves. She gets sent away, maybe? But there's a quote in the story that, like, it's from the Wasp Queen, and she says, so the old bitch sends children to kill me after what she did, after what she did to me. What did she do? Where's that story? I want to read that story.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's just, I can't trust that character. I couldn't really in the first place, but this more so. And I agree with the Wasp Queen.
Same.
Why should children have to pay fair value? I understand teaching them fair value, but, you know, child labor laws exist.
Well, they're rolling those back for me where I live right now. So, you know, you can be 10 and go to work.
Oh, chimney sweeps. Yay.
Yeah, it's pretty
Send
great.
Send them down the mines.
Yeah, it's great. It's really wonderful. It's really wonderful. Great. Send them to gather your fruit and kill your wasps. It's not great. Nothing is great right now.
No.
But I don't think I hesitate to say, but I think the Wasp Queen is my favorite character this time, even though, you know, she's dead. But
dead character can still be your favorite character.
That's true. And I think you know, you're right. She is right. I don't know that she deserved to die. But she did because of the pulsing venom.
The Wasp Queen died because of the pulsing venom. Because she killed Mockery.
Yes.
Okay, so that I get. I get that.
Yes.
She was quick to attack. The mention of the archivist. She assumed straight away that those three were coming to kill her.
Yes.
And I think if Lundy Moon and Mockery were given the option of being able to gather pomegranates without, you know, killing the Wasp Queen or getting into a fight, I think they would have done it.
I don't know. They wanted to be heroes.
They did, but they could be heroes with a story, and the story is that the Wasp Queen is now their friend.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. She might be able to give them rides. Imagine being able to ride the Wasp Queen.
Yeah, she could have just flown them right back into the market and given pomegranates to everyone.
Except the archivist, because, you know, she doesn't like the archivist. And she could have pulsed her venom into the archivist.
Oh, yeah. But that would have changed the outcome of In an Absent Dream.
Well, I mean, that is true. But I don't know. I just think the Wasp Queen wasn't given an option. She jumped to conclusions.
Yeah.
Lundy, Mockery and Moon reacted to the Wasp Queen jumping to conclusions. And I think the archivist needs to take some responsibility for sending children to go after an angry monster.
Yeah.
Who's obviously done something. There is a history there.
Yeah.
And there is, the archivist is culpable for some of it. And yeah, okay. That's basically it.
Yeah, I think that's fine. And, you know, I'm kind of glad that while, yes, I enjoyed the story and getting to see a little bit of Mockery, I guess it's kind of a surprise, but not really. Like, I wanted to learn more about Mockery, and we did.
Not this.
But this is not what I was expecting. And just everything that I was expecting was wrong. So I guess that's kind of a surprise. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think yes. I think no. I don't know.
I don't know.
The surprise is a little bit difficult on this one. I think even actually my surprise is how much I've come out of reading the story and not like the archivist, even more like how much my opinion of that character has really gone down more.
Yeah. And also, like, we really enjoyed the Goblin Market when we discussed this the first time. But now, going back into it, I'm kind of like, I'm glad that I don't know that there are any more stories that take place in the market.
Yeah. There's a lot of scope for the stories. I'm interested to find out about the archivist, like, first going there. That like, the setting up of the market. And,
yeah,
you know, that's what I'm interested in. And almost like, did they have a heart beforehand and then realise, no, we need to instill this fair value and, you know, we need to make children pay their own way and we need to do this, that and the other and make it quite a strict area. I don't know, I feel like the archivist went from probably a very caring person to somebody who had to hold their emotions and hold their heart and keep it all separated. My concern would be that if we ever did get an archivist story, it would go from Snow in the Hunger Games to Snow in A Songbird and Snakes.
Oh, no.
And
don't
that
bring
was.
Up that.
But the character and motivation completely went against what we know of them now, and that is always the concern in a prequel story.
Yeah, you're right. Let's not talk about that anymore.
However, if people are interested, go back to episode 98 when we talk about A Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
No, that
and just that don't bother reading the book.
That episode was painful. That was a painful episode.
It was funny though, because like us just going, oh,
oh,
yeah,
okay. Oh,
can you believe that was episode 98? By the way,
no, yikes, we're almost at episode 300.
Episode 300. I'm going to cut myself in half and count the rings because, wow,
yeah. I think I'm just gonna like wither off into a husk of dust just at episode 300.
It's just gonna be the gif from Titanic of us going, it's
beautiful. Yes.
And shocker everyone, episode 300 is coming up soon.
It is coming up soon. It's gonna be at the end of June. It's so very, very close.
Wow.
Yeah. I learned recently, speaking of episode 300, now I have to go back and double check numbers just very, very quickly. According to our podcast hosting site, Podbean, there are 361 episodes, but I think one or two of those is something weird and small that's not an actual episode. But that sounds about right, because we've done a ton of bonus episodes.
Well, we did like a bonus episode every month for about 2 years at one point.
Yeah, we did. And now we're starting the new and indie spotlight episodes, and those are happening all over the place all the time.
Yeah, yeah. As of recording, live recording, there's another one due.
There's another one due sometime today. Yeah.
So if you like and subscribe, then you'll get notification. Click on the notifications, you'll get told when the new episodes drop, because the new Indie Spotlights are unscheduled. They're outside the regular Wednesday episode drop. It can happen at any time because we work with the authors at their convenience.
Yes.
But we always promise that they'll be out ASAP, because Amanda works stupidly hard behind the scenes.
Thank you.
To get them out straight away.
Yes, thank you.
So keep an eye out for those.
Yeah. Should we move on to Would You Rather?
Yeah, why the heck not?
Yeah, do I test the sound effect and see if
it happens? No, let's just go without. Let's keep the technological problems to a minimum.
But I want to see.
Go on then.
No, it's not working. It's not working at all. Pew, 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 pew. Nothing works today. It's fine.
No, the technology curse is hit.
It's been a while since we've had that happen. So, you know.
Yeah, and that's nice.
Only to be expected.
So we asked on social media, would you rather eat blackberries or pomegranates? On Facebook, it was a 50-50 split. On Instagram, it was 86% to pomegranates. On TikTok, 60% to blackberries. And on Threads, it was 67% for blackberries. We did have quite a few comments. No recipes, unfortunately. Brie on Facebook said, 1. Blackberries are easier to eat, just as tangy, easier to digest seeds. And 2, homemade blackberry cobbler, enough said.
Katrina on Facebook said, pomegranates are nice, but very fiddly, so I vote blackberries.
Fiona on Facebook said, I'm going for pomegranate because no one else has. I would like you to know that I will eat either because I love fruit.
Claire on Facebook said, I'm not a huge fan of blackberries, so I vote pomegranates.
Coral on Facebook said, let's go for the fiddle-ridden fruit. Plus, I don't enjoy picking blackberry seeds out of my teeth, so we'll skip those sour little things.
Coral is always just truth bomb all over the place.
Truth bomb Coral.
Constance on Facebook says, pomegranates are delicious. Hands down, no question. Hades can trick me into staying in the underworld anytime. No problem with those seeds.
Emily on Facebook said, I like both fruits, but I went for blackberries because when I was in college, I studied abroad in Ireland for a semester. I had an internship that involved teaching 2 theatre classes with primary students. At the end of the term, they gave me a jar of blackberry jam. It was super delicious, and blackberries bring me back to that time. And I want to know more about that, Emily, because that sounds like an absolutely delightful time.
Yeah, I need to know all about this story, please, Emily. Please message us on Facebook or just comment. Just tell us. We need to know. Our last comment is from Crinoline Lefroy on Threads. Love blackberries. I could eat bowls and bowls of them. Even better with vanilla ice cream. Oh, that sounds so good.
I love vanilla ice cream. I'm not like a fussy ice cream person. Just give me a big bowl of vanilla. I'll be very, very happy.
Yeah. So what's your answer to this question?
I'm going to say pomegranates. I love pomegranates. They are the finickiest of fruits. You know, I try all different techniques, but the pomegranate seeds do go everywhere. You know, the hitting them with the wooden spoon and just scooping them out, or the squish method. I'll try them all. But you can also just, like, it's more expensive and it's a massive treat, and I'll only ever get them for, like, a picnic. But you can get, like, packaged pre-London pomegranate seeds. I love this. Just so fresh, and I like pomegranate seeds on certain salads as well. Very nice. And I don't mind blackberries. I love blackberries and yogurt, like mixed berries and yogurt and granola. Delicious. I had that for my breakfast this morning. It was delightful. But yeah, I kind of agree with, like, the seeds comment. I can't remember who said it now. So I'm quickly looking back. Constance was like, oh no, she had no problem with the seeds.
No, it was Coral. Coral.
Was it Coral? Coral with her truth bomb. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't like the seeds in my teeth. It is quite disgusting. And I'm not one for cooked fruit, so you can't win me over with a blackberry cobbler. Sorry, Brie. Yeah. So I'm gonna go pomegranate. What about you?
I think just for the ease of everything, I'm going to go blackberry. Like, I've got blackberries growing in my front yard right now. Give me a couple months, I'll be able to go and grab as many blackberries as I want. So that's what I'm going to stick with. I've never seen a pomegranate grove, never been to one, never encountered the wasp queen. So
I think I'm just... What does a pomegranate grove look like?
Well, they grow on trees. We know from other books in this series, even. Pomegranates are big in this series.
They grow on quite... I'm looking at them now. To describe them, it's like the orchards are very similar to apple orchards. But a lot shorter, stubbier tree.
Yeah.
So it's like a, you know, like very bush-like, but more of a tree.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I especially liked your hands when you were acting it out. I thought that was really nice.
Yeah, she realizes that it is being recorded and this is now on the internet forever and ever.
It is live for everyone to see on the internet. Drew has just joined us. Hi, Drew.
Hello, Drew.
Okay, let's go to our next question. Would you rather turn into a bird or a wasp?
Wasp, because I am not the biggest fan of birds.
Yeah. I don't
want to pulse my venom into someone.
I know that, like, I don't like wasps. There's wasps all over the place. And I don't like them. And I often run screaming from them in my backyard. But, and if you join the $400 Patreon tier, you will get to see me perhaps running screaming from a wasp. But I think in this case, I will also choose to be a wasp because this one's a giant one. It's a giant fucking wasp. And so I think that will be fantastic. I don't know if you can really tell, but I chose my lipstick today.
Based
on the color description of the wasp in the story. So I'm going to be the wasp. I'm going to be a giant fucking wasp, terrifying beyond all reason.
Can I confess that in my head, I had an image of this giant freaking wasp because it's described as the wasp queen. And I must have been trying to desensitize the pulsing venom because in my head, she had, you know, the Animal Crossing paper crowns that we did one year and we were wearing them for our birthdays.
Yes.
She was wearing
She was wearing a tiny precious crown.
Yes. I've got mine somewhere down here.
Yeah, I don't think I have one within reach. I do have a tiny clown hat that
I've got my clown hat. I've got my crowns. We could destroy the room I'm currently in to get it, but you know, what's this? Oh, it's a clown hat. So,
nice. Yeah, I could get one of those. Do I need to get one? I have to take my headphones out.
No. I think we'll safely just go and then be done.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's amazing. Drew.
It was a bit for about a minute.
Yes. Drew has said that she will be a bird because wasps very much scare her.
I don't like wasps either. I got stung 3 times by a wasp in the mouth.
You mean it pulsed its venom into
a wasp
your mouth.
Pulsed its venom
in italics
twice into on my cheek mouth. And once on my tongue.
That's horrible. Why are you eating wasps?
I wasn't purposely. We were at a theme park. I was only little, probably about Lundy's age, and okay, this is a story. Settle in, you're getting the story. So we were in a theme park called American Adventure, which I still don't actually know exists. And they had, at the time, the world's tallest log flume. So me, my mum, and my brother went on. And my brother, being the tallest, was at the back. And then it was my mum. And then there was like this little seat back. Then there was me. Happy, happy, going round. Yeah, 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 yeah. And then in the second downward slide, I was nearly thrown out of the log flume carriage thing. Like, literally, was going to go over the front and the log flume, the seat was going to go over me. If my mum hadn't, with her superhero-like reflexes, reached forward and grabbed me, and if my brother with his superhero reflexes hadn't reached over and grabbed my mum and then yanked me back. And then I had my mum and my brother's arms wrapped around me, and I was hysterical. Because we still had the other hill to go down, the slide. So we went down that slide. I was hysterical. I was no good. We came off. So to help calm me down, my mum said, "I'll get you an ice lolly." And I went, "Can I please have an orange ice lolly, mummy?" And she went, "Yes, you can." So I had an orange ice lolly, and there was a wasp, and it was buzzing around. So, you know, you just do that little wavy thing with your hand, and it stuck to the ice lolly on the underside. I did not know this. I put the ice lolly in my mouth. It went absolute batshit crazy. as you would expect.
Sure.
It stung me twice in the cheek, once in the tongue. And then we had to trek a mile up an extremely steep bank to get to the medical centre, because that was at the entrance of the theme park, to get seen to. And when the doctor saw me, he went, if you had an allergy, you would have been dead at the bottom of the hill.
Cool.
And was absolutely devastated by the fact that we were made to walk up the hill and none of the employees were like, let's get a golf cart, let's get medical aid to this person. It was like, oh, you've been stung. It's like, and it was a really serious matter. And because it was in my mouth, and obviously, you know, saliva and liquid, the solution, I couldn't put anything in my mouth to help like dry out the sting. I just basically got ice cubes. But then my brother did buy me a teddy bear to make me feel better. And it was a little pilot teddy bear. And I called him Ace. And I still have him.
I don't want to say that that's a terrible story, but that's a terrible story.
Oh, it's a childhood trauma. I did not like that place. And my mum would take me and my brother to theme parks, because that's where we like to go as kids for our holidays during school time. And I was like, Mammy, I don't want to ever go back. And she was like, neither do we.
Yeah,
that's what childhood trauma for you, and why I don't like wasps. But I'm not terrified of them. You would think I would be terrified, but no, I'm not. I just know if you've got something to flap, wave it around to like cause a breeze, you know, and it will eventually go. Yes, true. At least it wasn't a wasp, Teddy. Me and my brother might have fought like cat and dog when we were kids, but we do actually genuinely love each other.
That's nice. Meanwhile, I have made a note to myself to find a wasp stuffy toy and randomly send it to you in the mail. Shall we move on to our next question?
Yes. Would you rather fight with a knife, a spear, or a sling?
I feel like I choose knife. I don't really know why. This knife in this story was very, very sharp enough to cut off someone's head with little to no effort by a, you know, 9-year-old. So I think it's a very sharp and terrifying knife, and that's the knife I'm going to choose. I don't feel like I would be very good with a spear and a sling. I mean, I can't throw anything.
Yeah, I think you've got to consider accuracy when it comes to the sling.
Yeah, can't.
And there's a lot of different types of slings as well. So I kind of like the idea of a spear, because that's just like, it's not a finesse weapon. It's literally just thrusting, and at least you can keep the person, in theory, at a certain distance. Or, in theory, a person with a knife would be taken out by the person with a spear, because you have to be close for the knife. So yeah. I'm going to go spear.
All right.
I'm going to be an Amazonian queen with her spear.
Okay. Well, with the two of us, we should be able to take out the wasp queen.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
Drew has been prepared by West Side Story and chooses the knife because she wouldn't be able to use the others. It's fine.
Drew okay. is a theatre kid. Oh, Drew and Emily, who's teaching theatre classes in Ireland, get together and do Fictional Hangover, the musical.
I think that's a great idea. Next question. Would you rather behead the wasp queen or spear her in the belly? I'm pretty sure we just answered that question.
Okay, so I'm going to spear her in the belly and you're going to behead the wasp queen.
Yes. That was easy. That was very easy.
I will say, I like the fact that Moon picked up the Wasp Queen's head as well to use for fair value bargaining.
Yeah, she's
and
like,
proof
well,
that they took out the beast.
Can't let it go to waste. No. Gotta sell it.
I will also say as well, when Moon was picking up all the pomegranates, I was worried that she was picking them up to use as trade for herself and not to barter for Mockery's funeral. There was a split second I was worried for that.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
final question.
Would you rather stay in the market and continue to believe in fair value, or abandon the market because children shouldn't have to pay to live?
I'm going to abandon the market and become a wasp queen. Because really, you know, you don't think about it when the story is taking place, that because the story is a moderately a happy story, like in an absent dream, not juice like wounds, obviously. But, you know, Lundy, the main character in that story, seems to be doing just fine believing in fair value and trading her pencils for pies. And it just seems to be very lovely and everything is very simple. But really, the more you think about it, it's not a good place.
No, I think we touched upon it when we talked about it in the last episode, that it seemed odd.
Yeah.
That there was some peculiarity. I don't think we talked a lot about it because there's so much else to talk about. So this is a good opportunity to like really highlight that. The children should be allowed to be children and not be concerned with what fair value is. I'm not saying you don't teach a child economics or responsibility when it comes to this type of thing. I'm not saying that. You should. I mean, I'm forever saying to my child, you've got pocket money, it's yours to spend.
Sure.
However, he knows if it's a book, I'll buy it for him. If it's a toy, he's got to enter negotiations and I'm more likely to say no. He goes on the Switch web store all the time. He's like, oh, this is really cheap. It's only $179. I'm like, yes, and you have pocket money in which to spend it. Use your pocket money if you want that game. I'm not buying you another computer game. Can I have this book, Mum? Yes. Why don't you have six?
Yes, of course. Awesome.
Have another few. Have these ones as well, and I'll have this.
See, I think here in this case, hold on. I need to put visit your public library back up on the screen and just remind everyone that if you come to visit me in my library or there are many other libraries that feature this, but we have books and we also have video games. So you can check out both from your local public library. As she leaves the banner crawling across the bottom of the screen.
Anyway, all this to say, I'm going to abandon the market as well.
Yeah.
But I'm going to find, rather than go to Pomegranate Grove and be bitter in my loneliness, I think I will try and find other like-minded individuals, another community of people who also agree that children shouldn't have to pay to live, because I think in that kind of setting, it pays to have a community and not be a lone dweller.
Yeah.
For the, you know, not for the fair value, but for the community and the assistance.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Meanwhile, I will go and be miserly and turn into a wasp.
Well, if you turn into a wasp queen, can we enter negotiations and, you know, I'll bring you something in trade, not fair value.
Sure. Yeah, that'll work. That'll be good.
You'd be like, I'll bring you some ice cream or some pizza and you're like, I'll take some pomegranates. Yeah, like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay. Sounds like a good deal. It's great. I think we should move on now to favorite final thought quote. Do you have a favorite?
It's very difficult when we've got short stories to do favorite final thought.
I know, because we're just reading the entire story out loud.
Yeah, the summary plus quotes. It's the story.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you two.
Okay.
And then I'm going to give you two small ones.
Okay.
I want to be a hero. I want to fight a monster. But that doesn't mean I want to be a fool or to fill the belly of a monster. Portents. I am the wasp queen. I am the monster she made for me, and I won't negotiate with you.
Ugh. I have already shared two quotes.
I saw. I heard.
Yeah.
I saw those. I saw you.
Yeah. Yeah. I've already shared two. But we'll just add in another one, and it's really long. It's almost an entire paragraph. But since I've already shared two, one about pulsing venom.
Yes.
And the other one about being a bitch. Sounds great.
Again in italics.
Yes. I will share. There are some people for whom the only fair value is their own dominance over everyone around them, said the archivist. They can't look at someone who is equal to themselves and see them clearly. They assume that for anyone else to be the same, they must be cheating, or that something must have been taken from the first and given to the second, for surely it can't have been earned. For them, a level stretch of ground is an unfair advantage given to others who don't deserve to be elevated to what they consider their rightful place. They believe themselves above the world, above the market. They never understand what it can cost to care. Yeah. And then they go and they become wasps. Bitches.
Wasp bitches.
Pulsing wasp bitches.
If you could, like, you know, turn into any animal, like, what would it be in this context? Like, so you've left the community, you've left the market because screw you, archivists, and your fair value bullshit.
Sure.
What do you think, you know, wasp can be an option, but do you think you might turn into something else?
I mean, I think wasp, especially pulsing bitch wasp, is a very good option. But, you know, one also thinks of snakes when they think of evil sorts of creatures. So I think that might be nice. Or maybe like a fox or something. I don't know. Something sneaky and sinister.
You know for a fact there's a Shelob-styled spider in a cave somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's got to be a community somewhere where there's people with wasp wings and spider mandibles and rat's tails.
Yes.
You know, there's the sly, secretive animals rather than the birds where you think freedom and beauty. There's got to be a community somewhere
of evil creatures that actually aren't all that bad. Everybody just thinks they are, and actually they're really quite
evil
nice
creatures.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I want that story.
Yeah, that's where we'll live.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. So the next segment of the episode is If You Liked This, Try This. And then it's quickly followed by New and Indie Spotlight. But I had an idea this time. And I would like to just show this link to everyone. This is where this story came from. reactormag.com/fictions/original-fiction. So reactormag.com has a lot of really, really fantastic short stories. And that's where I went and I was looking through them and I wanted to suggest one or whatever. But I think it might be interesting if we reach out to our listeners and see if they would find a story that they enjoy that they could suggest to us, and then perhaps we cover it. Maybe another time when we have one of these live episodes with short stories. It's kind of a challenge. I don't know if anyone will do it.
Yeah, and if we get a few, we can and have a favorite. Great. If not, we could poll it to see what people would like us to read. And because they're free, you can read them and make an informed decision on your poll decision.
Yes, yes. So I think that might be nice. We're going to reach out and ask for help.
Well, Drew in the chat has said it sounds fun, so at least we've got one person bought in.
That's great. Thanks, Drew.
And checking on YouTube, there are other people watching. So, you know, they may do the same.
That's true. They might. Okay. Well, is that the end? Is that the end, then, of this live episode of Fictional Hangover?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Claire.
Join us next time as we discuss Donuts and Doom by Ballas Lorenzi. Look out for our Would You Rather polls on social media. Don't forget about our book club on Discord. Be sure to visit our shop on Redbubble at fictionalhangover.redbubble.com for all your favorite Fictional Hangover-themed merchandise, and become a patron of ours on Patreon at patreon.com/fictionalhangover. Until next time, remember, the only cure for a fictional hangover is another book.
Dance without music. You keep dancing while I say this. You can find us at fictionalhangover.com and follow us on all social media at fictionalhangover. If you like this episode, check out our others and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Please like this on YouTube and thank you for listening.
I'm gonna stop dancing now. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.